Hey, what's up, guys? My name is Brian.
And this is Josh.
And you are tuning into Dotcast number 3. We apologize. We both had some very busy schedules. A lot has been going on. So it has been a couple weeks. We're trying to make it a weekly podcast, but some stuff has come up. So we apologize about that. On other news, we were approved for iTunes, so you can get our first two podcasts there. And just search Dotcast in the iTunes search.
It's very easy to subscribe right there.
Yep.
Automatically downloads when we put out a new one.
Exactly. So that'll be great. You can listen to us on your mobile devices.
Yeah. Well, for the past 2 hours today, we were playing Minecraft. We decided to make a new world. And we decided just to go off. We found an island. We're just going to be like, this is our temporary home. We start mining. And it goes, we find a mineshaft. And we explore that.
No. Before that, I went off to adventure to find some sheep. And the first thing I found was a little hole that led to a spider spawner, which was awesome.
Oh, yeah, that was the first thing.
So that first thing that happens, spider spawner. That's like, and I was like, Josh, I've got a good feeling about this world.
Yeah, and I think I killed over 80 pigs. I'm pretty sure about that. Well, there were just like herds of them and all in one spot, and I just took my sword and just went to town.
So then we head back to base. And we built our base, like, inside of a mountain, just because it's going to be our starting base. Just, we dug a little bit out. And,
like, we thought there was just going to be basic stuff,
right.
Coal, iron.
So we're gathering some resources, and we weren't ready to completely move off yet. So I was like, Josh, let's start digging down a little bit. And we dig down probably 20 levels or so, and I break a piece, and I see a piece of wood. And I go, oh, nice. And we just...
Yeah, it's like at the exact same time we both hit.
And when we drop down into this... abandoned mine shaft, just huge abandoned mine shaft. Unfortunately, we didn't find any other spider spawners or monster spawners, but just huge. We collected all like the fences and stuff, and we found tons of iron.
Yeah.
I think
we made it roughly 80 pieces.
Probably in the first 2 hours, we've got at least three sets. Actually, no, four sets of iron tools. We have like 8 buckets, and we both have full iron armor, and that's only after 2 hours of play.
Yeah, and then we found a village, and I was able to get more armor.
Right, and and then we got some like cocoa beans and melon seeds out of the chest, so
yeah.
Good stuff there, but it was awesome.
I'm really liking the new update, how you can actually have LAN servers, so
yeah.
You don't have
oh,
to
it
go
made
either
it,
through Hamachi
right,
or
right, made it so much more easier.
Other.
So much easier. It gets better, we're digging around in the mineshaft, and we're digging along, and then we come
across a cave system.
Yeah, first we come across a cave system. We're like, sweet, this thing's huge. We dig around that.
And then we find another mine shaft.
We found another mine shaft, explored that a little bit, and then we broke through into a ravine. And we
almost fell into that. That would
we went
bad.
Down, we rode some water down, made a staircase, and we go on, and we started digging around. We were both kind of getting low on food and stuff, and both our inventories were pretty full, so we decided we were going to stop the mining there because we'd already gotten so much material.
Yeah.
Like, we've filled so many chests. So we went back up, we picked up our furnace and stuff and headed back up to base, and then we just kind of started exploring, and we just finished, before we stopped, we kind of cleared out the base a little bit because we're going to make it a little bit more. It's not going to be our permanent spot, but we're going to stay there longer than we anticipated.
I think we might make it a permanent spot or move towards the village we found.
Yeah, that's true. We'll figure something out, but for now, yeah. And Josh and I were actually talking as we started. We're like, okay, we should have, because once we start doing our Let's Plays, we're going to have, we want to have a world that we'll do our Let's Plays on, but we also want to have a world that we can just have fun that won't be recorded. It'll just be our little world. And I was like, oh, so we'll make this one our world since we don't have the software yet. This honestly would have been the best Let's Play world ever. It's the, because with 2 hours recording, that probably would have been about 4 episodes at half an hour each or so, 4 or 5 episodes. And normally your first few episodes are boring. I know a lot of times I've watched Minecraft Let's Plays and I usually skip to 6 or 7 because you know everything that happens. And that's when you start getting creative and you start really seeing each individual player's play style and things like that.
Within the first 20 minutes of ours,
exactly.
We were finding coal, iron.
Yeah.
We even got into the dungeon. That's when we first started in like the first 20 minutes.
We spawned, We chopped down the trees right next to us. We punched some trees, and then we hopped up right, and I was like, hey, let's go over this little hill. We go over the hill, and I explore a little bit, and I was like, Josh, perfect spot. I went back, Josh came with me, and we started. Little did we know it was going to be absolutely the perfect spot.
I just felt a little deja vu right there, because we just, that was basically what you just said 5 minutes ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh. Oops.
All right, so, well, I wanted to talk about this on the last podcast we have, but we got cut short by a blue screen of death on our...
Blue screen of death.
Yeah, but the Steam Summer Sale happened. There was actually some pretty good stuff. I ended up buying a lot of games.
I spent too much money.
You didn't spend that much money.
I spent over $100.
No shit.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you buy?
Hold on, let me open up Steam.
All right, because I ended up buying Counter-Strike... Garry's Mod, Left 4 Dead, Source, no, Terraria, and that was a lot for me. That ended up being like $40, $30, and I just thought that was a lot. You bought one of the collections.
Mm-hmm.
And what else did you buy?
I bought the 2K collection, and that was $50.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also bought the Dawn of War collection, which comes with every Dawn of War game.
Was that $50 too?
I think it was $50 or $60. So worth it. Love.
So expensive.
I love. Yeah, but I
can
love.
Can you play
them
on
like
your
that.
Laptop or no?
Yep. Yeah. Age of Mythology, Dawn of War, Age of Empires, Civilization. Those like real time strategy, build a civilization town games.
Do they work on your laptop though?
Love those. I was running the Dawn of War, the original Dawn of War. I was getting a little bit of lag because the laptop I have right now is
piece of shit.
Yeah, exactly. It's crap.
Like it's worse than mine, but it's newer than mine.
It's just crap. So the reason why we haven't done the reason why we haven't done anything yet is because like videos yet is because we're waiting up on getting my laptop. All right, so I got a lot of little indie games. So I got Auditorium, Bioshock, Blacklight Retribution, Borderlands, The Darkness 2, Duke Nukem Forever, Dungeon Defenders.
Duke Nukem Forever is a fucking horrible game.
Hey, it came in the pack.
Okay.
Yeah,
I was
I didn't,
why did you buy that?
No, I didn't buy it. It came in the 2K pack.
All right, what came in the 2K pack? Darksiders 2? Or The Darkness 2?
Darkness 2, Duke Nukem Forever, Bioshock 2, Blacklight Retribution, Borderlands, Spec Ops The Line.
I heard Spec Ops Line was all right.
And Sid Meier's Civilization 5. So then I also got Dungeon Defenders, Gratuitous Tank Battles, which is a lot of fun. Oh, it also came with Mafia 2. I downloaded Microvolts, which is just a free game. Quantum Conundrum. It's a really fun, attaching me to a port a little bit. It's made by the same people. So Civilization 5, Space Pirates and Zombies, which is a fun I wouldn't say tower defense, but... and then Splice, and then Waveform, Waves, and a crap ton of Dawn of War stuff, which I love. And I would like, once we get recording and stuff, I want to do a series and do real-time strategy games, like once a week, play.
Wait, so you got Borderlands?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yep. And I want to, like, play, like, now I'm going to, so this week I'll play Dawn of War, next week I'll play Age of Mythology, and just kind of do stuff like that, because those... I love those types of games. They're really fun.
Is it like 40K Space Marine, or is it like RTS?
No, it is it's a real-time strategy.
That's pretty cool.
You build up some troops, and you build armories and things like that to upgrade your weapons.
So it's like a Rise of Nation, Age of Empires kind of game.
Exactly, right. Space Marine, one of... I don't know what people's reaction to this is going to be, but Space Marine... 40,000. I have it for the Xbox. Easily, I know it didn't get super great reviews, but easily my favorite game that I've ever played.
Well, you really haven't played that many games to begin with.
Yes, I have.
All right, Wii games don't really count.
Okay, still, I have. Fine, whatever, Josh.
Have you ever played Smash Bros. Melee?
I played Smash Bros. All the time.
That is doubtably one of the greatest games of all time.
Oh, sure, no doubt. But Space Marine, in my opinion, is my favorite video game that I've ever played. Just because, one, some people said they didn't like the campaign. I thought the campaign was awesome. Because what, I think it was THQ? I want to say THQ, yeah. So, they go and... They make this campaign. They easily could have cut it off a third of the way through. Like, I was playing along and I was like, wow, this seems like the end of the campaign, but there's still 15 more missions left. This doesn't make sense. And it was literally, it's like they took three different stories and wove them all together. It could have easily been three different games. Huge, huge campaign. Multiplayer is a lot of fun. You got a lot of customization stuff. The controls are a lot of fun, and it's not that hack and slash that reviews said it was. At first, it seems like it can get a little bit repetitive, but as you upgrade weapons throughout the game, it just... one of my favorite games, easily.
You're a huge geek for Dawn of War.
Yeah, I am. Just the whole Warhammer franchise. Between the video games and the miniatures, I love cracking open a box of plastic and gluing it together and painting it and fielding a... I don't know. I'm a geek on both sides of the spectrum. I play Yu-Gi-Oh! And Magic. I play HeroScape.
Magic's a fun game. I'm thinking about getting the Magic 2013 for Steam.
Oh, yeah. I just picked up the Magic, the 2013 core set, and got some cool cards in that. I've been playing with a friend of mine lately. We actually went out to Gen Con, and that's where we were first introduced to Magic, because we went Gen Con. Actually, Gen Con 2012 is coming up 9 days, I believe it starts. So,
are you going to that or no?
Pretty exciting. No, I'm not going, but that would be awesome. Last year, we drove from here, Maine. My dad, a friend of mine, his name's Colby, and I, we drove. We drove out. We stopped. We saw the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and then we went to Indianapolis, and we did Gen Con, and it was amazing. It's just such an amazing experience. Got so many cool things.
Yeah, I bet you got a lot of cool collectibles there.
Really, yeah, really cool stuff. One place was giving away miniatures, like little miniatures, and they had like 1,000 of them, and they were gone in the first 40 minutes.
Wow.
It was Gen Con. It was the 45th year. No. I don't remember how many Gen Cons it's been. But anyways, it's the biggest crowd they've gotten ever. They had 45,000 different people come, and over the course of the weekend, the 4 days, it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, they had over 130,000 people walk in. So that means people weren't just going for one day. They had weekend passes and they were coming back. It was huge. And I can't wait to watch some of the coverage for it for this year. I'll be watching YouTube for updates and stuff. Really, just really cool. I don't remember. Oh, so that's where we were first introduced to Magic, because we get there and you walk in, and it's $60 to get a ticket, which isn't that bad, because it is the largest gaming convention in the world.
What about PAX Prime, E3?
E3 isn't, per se, gaming convention.
It's more the electronics.
Exactly.
Like the developers.
Exactly. And Gen Con has more of a board game, card game.
Like tabletop.
Right. It's a tabletop place, and in our little, so $60 isn't a bad price in my opinion. We get there, we go in, and you get these welcome bags, and in the welcome bag there's a ton of stuff, like, and one of the things was a free starter Magic deck. So that's kind of where Colby and I got introduced to it. We fooled around with it a little bit, never really got into it, and then I actually pulled out my Yu-Gi-Oh cards because I hadn't been playing them for a while, and I went back and I'm going back through and starting to complete some of my collections, and I'm like putting together complete sets and then selling them. Actually, I'm going to do a little plug. I'm going to be having, I'm got a Galactic Overlord, Hidden Arsenal 6, Battle Pack Epic Dawn, as well as 2012 Premium Collection. All of those I'm almost finished creating the collections for. They're all going to come in binders, all in pack fresh mint or near mint condition, and I'm going to be putting those up on eBay soon. So in the next couple weeks, I hope to get, yeah, I'm only a couple cards away, so I've been doing some trading and stuff like that, so that'll be up soon. So if you're interested in Yu-Gi-Oh! And interested in a full collection, I've also got some old Pokemon cards that I'm selling as a lot, and just a lot of stuff like that. So check TOM0259, it's my dad's eBay account, TOM0259. So yeah, if you're interested in that stuff, check it out. I'll try and yeah, exactly. And just say the Dotcast sent you, and maybe I'll do like free shipping or something. I don't know. Anyways, yeah, so we got into Magic, and I pulled out my Yu-Gi-Oh cards. I was starting to get back into them, and I went online, and I saw Magic, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to buy it. And I got a wicked good deal. I got the deck builder's kit and the core set, the fat pack, and just they came in. I got a pretty good deal, like $50, so I was happy. Came in and we've just been having fun. We've just been experimenting, building decks and stuff like that. So I'm having a lot of fun with that game.
Well, yeah, I kind of got into Magic by like there was a demo on Steam for Magic Gathering 2012. So I decided I'd pick up that demo, start seeing what's like the hype about it, and I'm actually really enjoying it. And I'm actually looking at buying some physical cards right now, along with the 2013 online.
Yeah, no, the 2013 online looks pretty cool. It's because they've got it on Steam. They have it on Xbox Arcade.
Oh, they have it on Xbox?
Yep, it's available on the Xbox.
I think that'd be kind of different.
It would be a little bit different, but I think it's a good idea. Because they're going to open up... I think Wizards of the Coast is the company. Mm-hmm. And I have a little grudge on them, but I'll talk about that in a second. But they own Magic the Gathering, and I think what they're doing is smart, because by adding Xbox, they're getting the video gamers' attention, who might then invest into the physical cards and get into that hobby. Yeah. So it's almost like gaming is such a huge category, but when you think about it, it breaks down into two areas. You have the tabletop gamers, board games, card games, miniatures, that stuff, and you've got the video gamers. And sometimes they can be at opposite ends of the spectrum and butting heads like crazy, and sometimes they're right next to each other. And I think that's what we're seeing a lot of with just some of these games where you're having, I think this is how it works, I'm not positive, but the Yu-Gi-Oh! World Championships, there's the regular Yu-Gi-Oh! World Championships, but then there's also a World Championship that has to do with the Yu-Gi-Oh! Video game that comes out each year. And based on how well you do, it's something like that, and something along the lines of how well you do in that, you get invited. If I'm wrong, please correct me. But we're seeing this mesh together, and we're seeing a lot of trickle back and forth.
I have a friend who lives here who I've known since I was a freshman. He was a sophomore. He goes to Yu-Gi-Oh tournaments and plays. Do you know him? His name's Sam.
Sam.
Don't say his last name.
Oh, yeah. He goes.
I was like, don't say his name.
Sorry, I'm chewing. Hold on.
Yeah, that's why you don't eat during the podcast, Brian.
I biked here, and I'm really hungry, so don't judge.
I'm already judging.
Okay, Sam, actually, yeah. We have a place in Maine, and it's a game store called Crossroad Games. It's up kind of by Sebago Lake. It's about 45 an hour away from here. And Sam goes up there and does some playing. And on Facebook, I learned all this because they post stuff. And he just started playing Magic a few months ago.
Did?
Yeah. So he started playing Magic a few months ago. And then he went to locals, beat locals, and then he went down to, they posted a picture, I think it was a couple days ago. He was in Boston for like the regional, and he just started Magic a few months ago, which is crazy. He's a really nice guy, and definitely a lot of talent when it comes to card games and stuff like that. I didn't know he did Yu-Gi-Oh!, but I know he does Magic.
Yeah, he's done Yu-Gi-Oh! For a long time. He's really good.
Yeah.
I'm currently looking at cheap decks that'll just like be a lot of cards.
Yeah, I'm running out of people to play Yu-Gi-Oh! With, unfortunately. But Yu-Gi-Oh! Is still, no matter, you may think otherwise, but Yu-Gi-Oh! Is still the number one trading card game in the world. Magic is growing.
Pokemon.
No.
Who really knew how to play Pokemon, though, when they were little?
Knew how to play?
Yeah.
Oh, hell no.
No, next to no one actually.
Nobody actually knows how to play the game. Absolutely not. I think with the Pokemon cards I got, I maybe played one or two legitimate games.
I don't think I think we just put out the cards and we're just like, oh, use this attack. I think that was pretty much what it was.
Yeah, it wasn't even... No one had any idea what was going on.
But it was just because they looked pretty cool.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I remember...
And they reminded you... You had a connection with the cards and the game that you loved so much.
Yeah, which I still play those games.
Oh, yeah. Pokemon never grows old.
Like, recently at a yard sale, I bought Pokemon Crystal and...
Nice.
The classic DOS game, Myst. Have you heard of that?
Oh, yeah. I love Myst and Riven. Good games.
Yeah, I got Myst. It's still in the box. It's not sealed, though, but it's got all the paperwork and stuff, so I thought it was really cool.
Yeah.
It's a good collectible thing. I'm thinking about selling that.
And I was...
I'm not a big fan of Myst.
I was on... Because I, for multiple reasons, didn't end up getting a job this summer. Just a lot of stuff was going on. It just didn't work out. So I've been kind of going through what are some other ways that I can make money myself. And one of them being the getting collections together and selling them online. Another, I was going back through my old video games. I have the... Oh, speaking of this, Josh, I would like this back. But I have the Zelda Collector's Edition GameCube game that came with the GameCube. New in package is selling for like $150 on eBay.
Well, you can get your, you can sell yours probably for roughly $100. Yeah, I maybe need to get that back to you.
I was talking to, I called GameStop, and of course I called them, it was like June or so when I called, and GameStop, of course, stopped taking used GameCube games in April. He's like, yeah, you're just a couple months late. But he said the minimum that they sold those for in the store were $40. So he said, just put on eBay, Craigslist, so...
Minimum, they sold them $40 for those?
Used.
Wow.
Yeah. So, it has the instruction booklet, original case, all that's still there.
Yeah, it's all pretty much set. I haven't lost anything
with it. And it's in decent condition, too, so...
Like, I started playing, speaking of Zelda, I'm a big Zelda buff. I started playing Skyward Sword. I just kind of haven't had the money or the time to buy the game for the Wii.
Favorite, Zelda game, Wind Waker, easily.
Wind Waker was good. I played Ocarina of Time. That was an amazing game.
On the Collector's Edition, so...
Wait, I was talking. But it's, I have to say, Skyward Sword is pretty much one of the best Zelda games I've ever played. Like, I started
I actually haven't played Skyward Sword.
Really?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, we were really excited about it a couple years ago.
Yeah, no, because Nintendo did their press conference and at
E3? Yeah, E3 09, I think.
Yeah.
09 or 2010.
Yeah, something like that. And
no, yeah, it was 09 because in, like, 2010, they cut off GeForce service with DirecTV.
Okay.
So, well, that's how I watched E3. It's on the TV.
With
G4.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, I watch it on the computer.
Well, I have a poo-poo internet connection, so I really
That's
can't.
True. Josh, you're really far away from your mic.
Well, I have a really bad internet connection. So,
What was it? Oh, yeah, so we watched that, and Josh and I immediately called each other, and we're like, holy crap.
Yeah.
Wind Waker looks dope.
No, it wasn't Wind Waker. It was Skyward Sword.
I mean, Skyward Sword. God, don't know what... but Skyward Sword looks awesome. Really cool. But Wind Waker, the Collector's Edition game came with a 20-minute demo of Wind Waker, and I must have played that 20-minute demo 200 times.
Well, it's...
bought the game.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I didn't have the money to ever actually buy Wind Waker.
Well, it had four different sections you could play.
Not three.
Three?
There was, like, a town... a dungeon, and one other place, and I played the shit out of that demo.
I can't believe you didn't actually buy Wind Waker.
I never ended up buying Wind Waker.
So you can't really say it's a great game if you just played the 20-minute demo so much.
Yeah, but I played it over and over and over again. It was, and I have played Wind Waker, I just never owned the game.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of fun.
That's most of the way there.
Yeah. Oh yeah, so when I called GameStop to ask about, prices and things like that, I call in and I was like, hey, I'm wondering how much I could sell my GameCube game to you guys for. And he's like, yeah, we just stopped a couple months ago. And I was like, oh, darn it. And I said, well, what if it's a collector's edition? And he goes, Zelda? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, eBay it. Just eBay it. I was like, all right, I can do that.
Yeah, you'll get way more money if you eBay it than put it on to GameStop.
Like games, you can get like card games and stuff. If you're going to sell your singles, don't go to those mass sites who will pay 25 cents for a card. Just put it on eBay, and after shipping...
Just like a box.
Yeah, well, after shipping, even singles, they sell for so much more on eBay.
Well, it depends. It has to be a rare single.
But even, like, a common, they might... Like, Troll and Toad is an example. They might buy it off you for 5 cents, but you might be able to sell it with shipping for 65 cents.
True.
So... And if
it adds up.
And a lot of times all you do in shipping when you're just shipping singles, a lot of times you can just use a regular envelope as long as you use top loaders and you put, like, do not bend on the envelope and stuff like that.
But, well, you also need, like, you can get a plastic sleeve for it, too.
Right, yeah. You get a plastic sleeve and then you put
The hard plastic, not...
Yeah, that's a top loader. That's what they're called.
That's what a top loader?
Yeah. Yeah, so... Oh, so my gripe with Wizards.
What is it?
Sorry, I was drinking. Okay. Hasbro, a company that we are all familiar with, probably all had a Hasbro toy when we were younger. They created this game called Heroescape.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was a good game.
Very good game. One of my favorite tabletop games. You have these hexes that interlock and stack. You can build any battlefield you want, whether it be a mountain, a volcano, a lake, a valley, a desert, whatever you want, a castle, anything you wanted. And you got these little miniatures, and each of them had a stats card with attack and defense and things like that, and each were worth a different amount of points. And you would decide on a point level, and you'd build an army out of those miniatures, and you'd do different things. Like, you could play capture the flag, or you could just play, like, flat out, first person to kill everyone else wins. And the great thing about it was the rule set was simple. Not too simple. There was actually two rule sets. There was the basic rule set and the advanced rule set. So if you were 7 or 8 and you thought this game looked fun, perfect. Basic rule set really made it basic. The advanced rule set, you were able to make it as in-depth or not in-depth as possible. And just so many... And it looked like such a child's game, but it actually ended up getting huge... It ended up becoming very big around the older tabletop gamers. And one of Hasbro's issues was they advertised for it on Disney Channel commercials, things like that at first, and it was advertised as a child's game. They were shooting between 10 and 12-year-olds. That was their market. Little did they know that they had actually just jumped headfirst into the tabletop game, and they were getting like 15, 16 and up. And
it's kind of like My Little Pony, where My Little Pony is aimed for 9 and 10-year-olds, but it's actually a quality show that a lot of older teenagers, like 17, 8, 16, 17,
yeah,
and upwards to the 20s, they watch.
Yeah, so Hasbro jumps head over heels into this new market that they're not familiar with because they're used to child's toys and things like that, and they become incredible. It becomes a really great game. It gets bought up, sold, awesome stuff. One of the main big features of it was in the packs, unlike D&D, the packs were not randomized. You knew exactly what characters you were getting in each pack, which was really nice. Just the playstyle and everything in the game is just a lot of fun. And
like, I used to like Dungeons & Dragons. Like, you got the book, you'd have friends or people that
about Dungeons & Dragons, that is a good game. That's the role-playing game. I'm talking about the miniatures game, because there's actually two. There's the miniatures game, which was discontinued, and the role-playing game, where you'd have the dungeon master and all that. But so Hasbro has this game, and older people are getting into it. I mean, I've played in some tournaments, and I've played against 50, 55-year-olds, just because it's that you're hitting...
You played in a tournament?
Yeah, that's what I did when I went to Gen Con.
Oh.
I played in a tournament. And I mean, when you go into any game store, you have 10-year-olds checking out the hobby. You have hardcore fans, but then you also have an older generation who grew up when Dungeons & Dragons was first coming out. So Hasbro isn't used to this market, so they don't do very well. Things don't do great. The core fans buy it like no tomorrow. eBay, in stores, they sold at Walmart, Target, anywhere it could be, sold out instantly, just because the core fans bought it and they bought a lot of it. But unfortunately, that wasn't enough to keep Hasbro holding it, so Hasbro eventually had to sell it over to Wizards of the Coast. And it turns out that Wizards of the Coast is actually some sort of like a brother company, I think.
Sister, would it be technically sister company?
Sister company, whatever. I guess they're connected in some way, but Hasbro sells it over to Wizards, and Wizards has been known for buying up small games, and then ending them to get more people into D&D and Magic. They went so far as the last three waves of expansions that came out were 11, 12, and 13, also D1, D2, D3, because they were not Heroescaped anymore. They were not Heroescape-themed anymore. They started bringing in Dungeons & Dragons characters into Heroescape. And
I find that kind of annoying.
And this is when kind of things turned, things went downhill, and eventually Wizards let out a message saying Heroescape is being canceled. So that's where my gripe lays, because I'm a huge Heroescape fan. I love Heroescape. So much fun. And I know there are tabletop gamers out there that look at Heroescape like, oh, it's a child's game. But honestly, in my true opinion, I honestly think that's because they haven't given it the chance yet. Yes, it was marketed as a child's game, but it deserves to be right up there with War Machine, Hordes, Warhammer Fantasy, 40K, Infinity, those big core games. It deserves to be right up there with them. And yes, the rule set is a little bit simpler, but it doesn't mean it doesn't have just as much awesome play and scenarios and things like that. So really cool. All of another plus was so many people that want to get into that hobby don't want to assemble and paint their miniatures. Heroescape came pre-assembled, pre-painted.
Yeah, so, I find that really helpful because I don't have the patience to paint a miniature.
Yeah, exactly.
Put them together.
And like, I'm a 40K fan, so I like the model side of it, but Heroescape in the end is just my favorite game.
Well, you can just change the terrain around, which I find is
exactly
really cool.
You never, ever have the same game because you make the board.
Yeah. I kind of want to buy a thing Heroescape.
Oh, I have plenty, so we should get together. Yeah,
that would be fun.
Yeah, Colby and I are actually talking about getting a big thing. There's a group of New England Heroescapers that do tournaments and things, like sometimes do it in Vermont, sometimes in Rhode Island. And Colby and I were talking about maybe getting something small up here, like 10 or 15 people. And people, like, there are people from Vermont that will travel.
How old are they, though?
Oh, they'll be older. You'll have 15-year-olds and you'll have 40-year-olds. But the point is, I've never seen a community focused around one game that is so trustworthy and so...
Yeah.
It's just such a great community. There's a forum online. It's like an unofficial forum, so it's not made by Wizards or Hasbro. But it's made by the guy who owns Plaid Hat Games. So if any Dungeon Run or... what's the other game? Summoner Wars fans.
Never heard of those.
They're small. They were actually featured in the Entrepreneur Avenue at Gen Con 2011. They're probably going to be there in 2012, but they're growing quickly. I see them being one of the next big companies. And so, what was I going to say?
I have no idea.
Me neither. He created this forum, and just huge, you have people on this forum that have 30, 40,000 posts, just really great community in this forum, and everything about it. And you saw that, like, when I went to Gen Con, you saw people looked out for each other. Everyone was really sportsmanship. No one was poor losers or poor winners. Everything about the community was just so great. And you could ask, you could walk in and play a game with someone you'd never met before and end up being really good friends with him. There's a guy I met when I went there. He was from Ohio, and we ended up Skyping a few times afterwards. And it didn't matter what age you are, but you have this hobby that you're both interested in, which is something that I haven't seen in a lot of other hobbies. But a really awesome community, and it's a shame. There's been rumors about other companies bringing it back and things like that, but for now it's a dead game.
I don't think those rumors are going to end up being going to happen,
and
because it's all speculation.
Right, exactly. And
until it actually happens, I don't believe most rumors or any rumors.
And theoretically, it could happen if they market it correctly, because you've already got thousands of fans. It would be like inventing a game that people already like. So instead of having to do all this advertisement to build up and build your following, you already have a huge following. You're going to pull the people in that quit because of D&D and because it ended. But you're going to... Colby and I still play Heroescape to this day. Love the game. Great game. And you're going to... If you bring that back, you're going to get all those players. Plus, now you know how to market it. you've seen the issues that Hasbro and Wizards did, so now you know, okay, this is who we direct it towards, and all of a sudden you're appearing in those local game shops and things that you might not have been the first time. So I think I honestly don't expect it to come back, but I do think if it were to come back, I honestly think it would do much better a second time around.
Yeah. On the other hand, I did a live stream of Slender the other day.
Yeah.
That was...
Yes, he did.
Yeah, the first time I've ever played the game. I don't really watch much of the YouTube videos. I think I started watching one, but I had to go, so I stopped it. And basically, I was terrified. I didn't know what the Slenderman was. Well, I kind of did, because I've been into that whole urban mythology of the Slenderman. I've watched some Marble Hornets. It's just... I don't usually play games where the enemy, the creature, just kind of, like, comes out of nowhere and gets you, and I didn't know there was, like, a run feature that you had to, like, run away.
I think the best part about it is you have to be careful, because if you run too much,
you
stop. Can't run anymore.
But I was streaming. I've never streamed before, so the video didn't really come through on the other end, but you could hear my audio perfectly fine. And you could just see, like, oh, there's a face on that rock. Like, it looked like a... I was, like, pointing out, like, oh, there are two eyes and a smiley face. And then all of a sudden, the Slenderman just grabs me. And, like, his face is right on my monitor. And all of a sudden, you just hear me screaming into the mic. And then, like, you can hear me stomping off around the room. And just be like, well, that's the end of the stream. I just shit my pants. That's the ending of my stream. And there was a... I think there might still be a recording on Twitch TV.
I don't know. How long do recordings stay on Twitch?
I honestly have no idea. I don't think they stay on for that long.
Yeah, I agree.
It may or may not be on. Probably not. But we're going to do either a Let's Play of Slender with Brian playing and me commentating on it.
I do want to do a series.
It might just be a live stream that we record and put on YouTube as well.
Yeah, I definitely want to do a series that focuses around some of the horror games, Amnesia, those games.
Oh, and I also have a bet going on with my brother. If he collects all 8 pages and takes a screen cap of it, I'll give him $50.
What?
Yeah, he's trying. He got to 7, but then the Slenderman got him. But that was him not knowing how to run away. That was his first time playing.
You're going to be paying your brother $50.
Probably. No, but he spent the past, like, five... He spent 5 hours total trying to get it, and I haven't told him that he can run, so...
He's going to figure it out.
He will eventually.
Yeah, he's going to... Yeah, no. You just lost $50, Josh.
I haven't lost $50 yet.
Yet? But yet. Soon to come.
Yeah, probably within a couple weeks, I'm going to lose $50. But it'll be a funny way to lose it. Because the first time my brother played it, The Slenderman popped out on his screen just like the Slenderman did on mine, and...
Well, that's what it always does. It just...
Well, no.
...shows up.
Not all the time. Like, the second time I was watching my brother play, like, you could see Slenderman off in the distance, but he was just... My brother, Luke, was just staring at him with the flashlight. He was like, what do I do, Josh? Last time I just died, and I don't know what to do. And I was like, I think you should run away. And he was like, how do I do that? And I was like, just... run. He was like, I don't know what the fuck to do. And it was pretty funny, because, like, the first time he was just screaming around the house, but he was like, Josh, this is amazing, because he plays all these horror games and he hasn't had a good fright like that since, like, he originally played the first Dead Space.
Yeah,
and he's 13. He's almost 14. He's 13.
There was this one game that my dad got. I don't even remember how we came across it, but we got this game.
What's it called?
Call of Cthulhu.
Sounds familiar. What's the system for?
It's a PC game.
It must be old.
I play it. Yeah, it's an older game, because I played it. I was like, oh, cool, a computer game, and I tried it when I was like, I must have been.
Was
8.
It a DOS game?
What do you mean?
Like, was it for DOS?
No.
Oh.
It was, and so I took the CD, I installed it, I was like, I like computer games, let's play, and I fucking shit my pants at the age of, like, 8.
Alright, that's just a kind of a horrible experience for when you're 8.
It was horrible. It was dreadful. But, yeah. Whatever.
I think we have some special news to tell our audience.
Yes, we do.
We are actually adding two new members to the podcast.
Yep. We have one confirmed, correct?
I think both of them are confirmed.
Well, did we... We haven't talked to the second one.
I haven't talked to Keith yet. All right, it's fine. We can say their first names. It's all right. We've been doing that with everyone else.
Yeah. There's a guy named Keith who... He's been a pretty good follower. I know we've only had two shows, but he...
He's listened to both of them.
He's listened to both of them. He sends us emails and stuff he'd like us to talk about. Really cool. So he's probably listening to this. So Keith, if you haven't heard from us yet, we're actually going to shoot you an email and see if you would be interested in joining us. Because we think it'd be cool. We want to get four people. And then Josh has a friend who he talked to...
Well, they're... Keith... And the girl I'm talking to about joining the podcast, they're actually friends. They live in the same town. They're good friends.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So her name is Forgetting on the Rooster Teeth site. And should shoot her off an email saying, have fun on the podcast or something like that.
Yeah. So did she say she wanted to be on it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she was.
So that's already been confirmed.
Yeah, she's 100% in.
Awesome. Sweet. That's exciting.
Well, it's going to be good having more members of the podcast.
Yeah, so definitely.
We don't run out of things to talk about, and we just don't ramble on like we occasionally do.
Yeah, because it happens.
And I think they'll, not next week's podcast, but the week after, to get mics and everything. That's such.
Yeah.
Or maybe next week's. I don't know.
We'll see.
We have to figure out how to use Skype and making a podcast.
Right.
We're kind of new to this.
But, you know, we're going to have fun. We're excited to get some more people.
It's always a good time.
Yeah.
And what was I going to say? I completely spaced out on that. Oh, and I'm on Twitter. Brian, I don't think, is on Twitter.
I'm not on Twitter, no.
No. I'm Josh_Marquis, MARQUIS.
Once we get some more content, we will get a Facebook page. But for now, we're just leaving things simple.
And I'm super bad, 6'4", 6'8" on Rooster Teeth. Brian is
Bamo Guy. BAMO
Guy.
Guy.
It's pretty simple.
Yeah.
And you're probably gonna see a Slender Let's Play later in the week, probably around Wednesday ish, when the podcast comes out, which will be tomorrow.
Why doesn't the podcast come out today?
I don't know. Well,
I'm not coming back here to put it out.
Oh, true. The podcast will be coming out today, so on Wednesday. Today is Monday.
Wait, how are you going to do a Let's Play for Slender?
I'm going to come in here on Wednesday.
We don't have software yet.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
We can get free screen cap software. We can try that out.
Yeah, okay, I guess so.
And we'll just see from there. If you live stream it through the live stream software, you can actually set it to record on your desktop.
Oh, cool.
So we'll just live stream it and then just upload the video to YouTube.
Yeah, when do you want to do that? We can also, let's start our Minecraft Let's Play at the same time.
Yeah, that'll work. Oh, yeah, and we'll just live stream Minecraft and just be...
So, here, this is what we'll do. We will...
I'll post it on Rooster Teeth when the live stream is on.
And if you want an email update, send us an email
to
BLUDOTPRO, that's blue without the E, dot productions. I mean, BLUDOTPRO@gmail.com. And what we'll do is we will put you on a list, an email list, and we will shoot out emails when, like, oh, hey.
We're going live.
Yeah, we're going live.
Or we have a new video or podcast.
Right, exactly. So, do that. And follow Josh on Twitter as well. And
both of us on Rooster Teeth, doesn't really matter.
And we will make sure, we'll send out an email like, hey, we're planning on doing our Minecraft live stream at this time on this day. We'll maybe give you like 24 hours notice or something.
Or we might have a live video podcast. That might be something special.
Yeah, I'd like to do that at some point.
We'll just have to figure out how to record it.
Yeah. But, well, it'll be fun.
Yeah, it won't be bad.
So, shoot us an email, BLUDOTPRO@gmail.com.
I'll just put it in the link dump. I'll just link it.
Okay.
And so I think that about wraps it up for this week. It's been a long week. We'll see you again next week.
Josh, it's Monday.
All right. It's been a long day.
And it's been fun. Nice to chat with you guys as always. Shoot us emails with what you want to hear.
Where do you want to go for lunch?
We're going somewhere for lunch?
I don't know.
Last time we got Chinese food.
Oh, yeah, that'd be good.
That was good. I don't have money, though.
Oh, shit. Neither do I. All right. Well, all right. That's it. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.